Welcome to Energizing Tennessee, powered by the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council and First Bank. We're your number one podcast for news about Tennessee's advanced energy sector. I'm your host, Courtney Piper. In the first season of our podcast, we've explored everything from how we can build out a fast-charging EV network in our state to the best ways to support early-stage advanced energy startups. It's been a pleasure speaking with industry leaders who are passionate about deploying advanced energy solutions and advocating for this important and growing sector of our economy. Today, we ask the question, why Tennessee? Why are so many advanced energy companies moving to or expanding operations in our state? From major automotive manufacturers to our international energy companies, it's difficult to ignore the fact that many organizations are choosing Tennessee again and again. To help answer why, I'll be speaking with Hitachi Zosen Inova, or HZI, a global clean tech company, about why they recently relocated their headquarters to Tennessee and expanded their operations in East Tennessee. Before we get into our episode, I wanted to share an important milestone with you all. This episode marks our first season finale. Thank you to our listeners for joining us on our first season, and we look forward to season two. Keep an eye out on our social media channels and website. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to hear about upcoming episodes and advanced energy news. Also, if you've enjoyed our conversations and learning more about advanced energy on this podcast, become a member. Join us. Visit our website at tnadvancedenergy.com. Now, on to today's show. I'm pleased to welcome back our sponsor, Brent Ball, First Bank Market President for Knoxville, Tennessee. Brent, what's the value of partnerships, such as our own with Energizing Tennessee, in supporting the advanced energy economy?
Well, you know, first off, thanks for having me here. We love the relationship. And again, any way that we can get back to the community, help people understand more of what's going on, you know, in Knoxville or in our region, we'd love to help. And again, we know how important energy initiatives are. And again, it's something that a lot of people do not know about. So any way that we can help get the word out there, we will do it. And again, you know, at First Bank, we're headquartered here in Tennessee, have local decisions. And of course, we'd love for somebody to listen to this podcast and give us a call if there's a way that we can help.
Absolutely. Brent, we have so enjoyed our partnership with First Bank. You all have made Energizing Tennessee possible and helping us spread the good news about Tennessee's advanced energy economy. So thank you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Courtney.
For today's episode, I'm pleased to speak with Heath Jones, the Managing Director for HZI's North American Operations. HZI is a global clean tech company that operates in the energy from waste and renewable gas space. Its North American headquarters is located in Knoxville, more on that in a minute, but it's an international company with roots in Switzerland and part of Japan's Hitachi Zosen Corporation. Heath, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and tell you a little bit about HZI.
For those who don't know about HZI, tell our listeners about what HZI does and its mission regarding sustainability and advanced energy.
I think you really touched on it up front. I mean, Hitachi Zosen Corporation is a 140-year-old Osaka-based company with really roots in Zurich, Switzerland, and Osaka. And throughout the course of history, it's really been focused on how we make the world a better place. And one aspect of our business is really trying to figure out how to best utilize waste. As we continue to have, you know, kind of growth in the U.S. and in other parts of the world, we all generate waste. And one of our missions here is how do we do that in the most efficient, environmentally friendly way? And that's really our charge at HZI is to figure out how to take that waste and reuse it, repurpose it, and create a clean energy source out of that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. It's called energy from waste or waste to energy.
Right.
Tell our listeners what that is. What is energy from waste and what is it used for?
Yeah, so waste energy or energy from waste is really about thermal treatment. It's about utilizing the waste in a thermal recycling approach. And we recover precious metals, we recover salts, and then we ultimately use the heat from that thermal recycling for either district heating in large urban environments or creating electricity. And then, you know, that is ultimately used, you know, to generate electricity for homes or cars or whatever.
Now, what kinds of waste are you taking in? Tell us more about what that waste is. What does it look like when it comes to you?
It's municipal solid waste. So it's all waste that would ultimately go into a landfill and maybe sit there for 100 years. Right. So we take that and we process that into a waste energy facility. So we grind it up and then we use it as fuel and treat that waste. And out of that plant, we'll recover, you know, precious metals, we'll recover salt. And then, you know, that's ultimately used. And it's kind of we've taken that waste and instead of putting it in a landfill and letting it sit there for a century. We've taken and treated that waste and created electricity.
So this is coming from when you say municipal solid waste. I mean, that's waste that is the city, for example. I live in Knoxville also. Is this when the city's coming to pick up my trash? Anything that might go to a city landfill or a county landfill?
It is. It's mattresses, trash, whatever it is to do that. Europe in particular, we have about 60-some of those plants here in the U.S., in other parts of the world, that's a much more prevalent approach than landfilling. So we have about 600 references worldwide. So we have a large installed base. And you may be in a city like Copenhagen in Europe and walk by a waste energy facility and never even know it's there. It's in downtown Copenhagen, for example.
Interesting. Okay, so then let's talk about renewable natural gas. What is it? How is it made?
It sounds like a very fancy, complicated term, but really what we're doing is a backyard composter, right? You put organic matter into that backyard composter, you know, leaves, food scraps or whatever, and you're really using Mother Nature to break down that organic material into its natural form. And when it does that, it releases methane. And so what we're doing is really taking something in like a, you know, upsized backyard composter, if you will, at an industrial scale. And we're driving off that methane in a controlled environment and capturing all of that methane. And then we're taking it and either cleaning it and using it for some sort of energy source. So it's really about the breaking down of organic matter and harnessing, you know, what's coming off of it.
And what is renewable natural gas used for? It can be used in any kind of thermal application. Give us just a little bit more color about what it's used for and what we might, an energy source we might already be familiar with and how it's like that or not like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So renewable natural gas is really a carbon negative natural gas. So you can use it in the heating of homes, in cooking, in creating electricity. So what we do at one of our facilities, like in San Luis Obispo, California, is we take curbside green waste, organic waste that you would see out of recycle bins, and we take that, we grind it up, we put it in one of our anaerobic digesters, and then ultimately we create power and we put that onto the grid. And then ultimately, in addition to that power, we create an organic compost that we ultimately sell to wineries, and it's certified organic, and I think it's really good for everyone, good for the consumer, it's good for the community, and ultimately good for the in-use customers.
I love this. Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about your operations, the business. HZI relocated its North American hub from Georgia to Tennessee back in 2020. Then in November of 2022, the company announced it was investing $6.6 million to expand operations at its Knoxville headquarters, creating 90 new jobs. So my question for you, Heath, is why Tennessee? Why did HZI choose not only to relocate to the state, but expand its operations here too?
I think it's pretty easy. I mean, it's... Tennessee has such a long and storied history in innovation from an energy standpoint, a material science standpoint. And you look at the infrastructure that's really grown up around that in East Tennessee, whether that's with Oak Ridge National Labs or University of Tennessee or in conjunction with activities that TVA has done over the last number of decades. And there's really the infrastructure, there's the innovation, there's you know, the expertise here. When you look at an area that's relatively small in nature in comparison to an Atlanta or Nashville, you know, Knoxville is pretty concentrated, and it's got a great resource for growth.
HCI is headquartered in Tennessee now. You're expanding in Knoxville. What are your plans for doing business in Tennessee?
We would love to do business in Tennessee. It's something that we have we've looked into. We think that renewable natural gas and waste energy really fits into where Tennessee is going, and its focus on, you know, clean energy and innovation. So we've reached out to a number of people, you know, locally at the University of Tennessee and also within the business community about possible ways that we can partner, you know, either with, you know, large farming operations, large distilling operations, or ultimately food production operations, or even thinking about how do we help solve the waste issues in a growing community like Nashville. So we're really looking for opportunities in the state of Tennessee. Being a native Tennessean, I would love to do something in the state. And so we're definitely looking at some opportunities here, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to announce something.
Well, we are so happy that you're here. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about workforce development. This expansion and the relocation, it's going to bring in 90 new jobs. So workforce development is becoming an increasingly important topic, especially with so many employers like HCI relocating or expanding in Tennessee. So why was Knoxville the right fit for you in terms of the labor market when you look at those 90 jobs coming in?
Well, I think first off, we have a great base of employees, as I just mentioned about why, you know, why Knoxville or why Tennessee. I think we have a great base of resources locally in order to kind of build a foundation off of. And then you have some top-notch engineering schools, the University of Tennessee, Tennessee Tech, you know, I think are producing some really great capable engineers. And we've talked to both of those institutions. We've talked to Pellissippi, and we'll continue to kind of further, you know, those conversations as well. And I think for us, it, you know, there's that in education component to it. There's all the infrastructure from what TVA and ORNL and others have brought here. And there's some really great kind of smaller independent engineering firms that support those organizations. And for us, I mean, that just seemed to be like a win-win and that we could kind of leverage for our growth.
The workforce and the talent development assets that we have here are really fantastic. And I think one of the great things about them too, whether you're talking about a Tennessee Tech or a University of Tennessee or our community college system, is they all work together. And especially our community college system as well, they can be very hyper-focused and agile and move fast when it comes to industry needs. So glad that you mentioned those as one of those reasons.
Just one of the other reasons is it's easy to attract people to East Tennessee. You know, people have been coming here to the Appalachian Mountains and Great Smoky Mountains for many years, and it's one of the most visited national parks in the country, and people love it here. And if you can get people here, it's an easy sell.
Now, these 90 jobs, what are these folks going to be doing? Give us kind of the short list of job titles, job descriptions. Give us a breakdown.
Yeah, so the majority of those jobs are going to be engineering-related jobs. So chemical engineering, electrical engineering, controls engineering, mechanical engineering, also drafters and designers associated with that. But it'll also be, you know, like accountants or project managers or procurement agents that will be needed to support the projects.
Okay. Now, you mentioned some of the partnerships HCI has formed to ensure you have access to the talent pool you need. Can you expand on any of those partnerships or tell us an interesting anecdote or how you met those folks, how you got networked together? Anything else that you want to share about those partnerships?
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things that that happened in the fall is we got contacted by the University of Tennessee to support, you know, some of their, you know, education and kind of expansion efforts in supporting, you know, the Argentinian government in looking at anaerobic digestion. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, the University of Tennessee had seen some of our expansion. They had reached out through just obviously some mutual connections. And we were able to kind of partner up and talk to the Department of Agriculture and some other folks down in Argentina, about, about agriculture and how we're utilizing waste to generate a renewable, energy source. And I thought that was pretty great. I mean, we're relatively young, in the U.S. and to already have those kind of connections and going on a trip like that with the university and meeting with the Argentinian government, I thought was pretty fantastic and really underscored the support that we have by the community and the engagement that the community like University of Tennessee has with the local community, but also with the global community.
Absolutely. Now, on to a really big recognition that you all received. Each year, the Knoxville Chamber presents the Pinnacle Business Awards. And after only 3 years in Knoxville, HCI was the recipient of a Pinnacle Business Award in the Innovator category. So first, congratulations. That's big news. And second, what was your reaction to receiving that award?
You're really humbled. Really humbled. There's been a lot of hard work over the last few years to kind of get us to where we are today here in Knoxville and in North America. But very humbled. I think it was really indicative of two things. I think one, all the hard work that people have put in place here locally and also globally to really help us lift this off here in the U.S. and in Canada. So I think it's really indicative of that hard work. And also, I think the other thing that I would say is that it's really indicative of the engagement of the business community in Knoxville and in Tennessee. Both mayors, representative from the governor's office, economic development, universities, were all part of, helping us kind of lift off and supporting us. And I think it really just is a testament to the engagement that we have in our business community and in our local economic development community.
That's great. All right. Now, Heath, you have joined and HCI has joined the TABC board at our annual meeting. That's where we announced you were joining our board of directors. So what value does TABC provide organizations like HCI? And what are you looking forward to with being a part of this organization's leadership?
So I think it really provides a platform for Tennessee to really think about energy in a new and innovative way. I think it provides an educational platform and an advocacy platform, and I think that's really, really important. I mean, as we continue to try to grow as a state and become much greener in thinking about energy in new and different ways and innovative ways, I think platforms like this are fantastic, and I think it's much needed in the state of Tennessee. So for us, it helps to give us a platform, and also what I hope to be able to get out of it is just learning about other technologies, other companies that are doing really cool and innovative things. And if we can help the state of Tennessee, advance, green energy in the state, I think that's fantastic. And I think, rising seas floats all boats, and we want to help that in the state of Tennessee.
Well, Heath, you mentioned advocacy and education, and if you had your easy button or if you had your wish, is there any specific topic that you think requires more education in Tennessee, just anything related to advanced energy that you think decision makers need to hear a little bit more about?
East Tennessee, I recently got a Rivian truck, and I think there's a lot of hurdles and perception hurdles when people think about electric vehicles and they think about, what am I going to have to give up? I haven't given up anything. And I think getting over that perception hurdle and really thinking about how people think new and differently and just getting people to take a little bit of leap of faith and getting outside their comfort zone, I think is really great. And I use the truck example because trucks are at the heart of East Tennessee. People love them. But there's also this concern with what do people have to give up if they try something new and different. So if I had one thing, it would be really to teach people how they can make a personal impact on the environment through just a simple thing about how do they sort their waste, how they recycle their waste, and that we can make this a much cleaner world in a world without a lot of effort or a cleaner world without a lot of effort. Put to it. So I think it'd really be education on how they can kind of better manage waste and utilize that for a green energy source for today, tomorrow, and years to come.
Heath Jones, HCI, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. But before I let you go, where can people learn more about you or HCI?
Yeah, so you can check this out. Check us out on the web, hz-innova.com. We also have a LinkedIn page for our global operations in North America. And you guys can hit me up on LinkedIn as well, and pretty active. And so answering questions you may have.
Thanks for coming on the show, Heath.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's our show. Thanks for tuning into Energizing Tennessee, powered by the Tennessee Advanced Energy Business Council and First Bank. We're glad to be your number one podcast for news about Tennessee's advanced energy sector. If you like what you heard, please share it with others or leave a rating and review. To catch the latest episodes, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow TAEBC on social media or sign up for our newsletter to hear about our events or learn even more about Tennessee's growing advanced energy economy.